Where could I go but to the Lord? And the Sunday school message, trust in the Lord. And this morning's message is, where is your trust? Part one. Which means there will be a part two, right? All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 20 and verse 1. Stand for the reading of the word if you're able to stand. Psalms 20 and verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Oops, that's not right. 20 verse 7, sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. 20 verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a blessing to be here. What a blessing to be amongst these dear folks. And I pray, Father, this morning, as always, that you would be lifted up and glorified, that you would give me the very words to preach this morning. I pray, Father, that you would give me boldness, that you would give me clarity of speech. I pray, Father, that your words would go out and touch our hearts, that our lives would be changed for the better, that we would learn to trust instead of question, learn to trust instead of try to do it on our own, learn to trust in you. And so we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish this morning and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this verse of scripture I read, we're talking about trust. Do you realize how much trust is a part of our life every single day? Every single day. Every time we switch on a light switch, right? We flip it on. We trust that the lights will come on, right? We had a breakfast yesterday, and as we're cooking, the lights kept going off. We kept tripping breakers, and the lights kept going out and going out and going out, and it was like, we haven't had a problem like that in a long time, but let me just say, as we pointed out very quickly, missions conference is coming up. Always, always, always something leading up to missions conference happens. And so I don't know how many times. I think I turned the breaker back on maybe 6-8 times. And I know Brother Fred went back a few times and at least, and I lost track of how many we totally did. But we got breakfast. But when we flip the light switch on, we trust the lights are coming on, right? When you came in and sat in the pew, you trusted the pew would hold you, right? I didn't see anybody come in and kind of test to see if it was going to be strong enough. They just sat, right? We just plopped down because we trust that they're going to support us. I got in the car this morning, I put the key in the ignition and turned it and trusted that the car would start. I thank God I got two vehicles in case one doesn't start, you know, we jump to the other one, right? But it's amazing how much we trust that things are going to just work. Every day our life is filled with things and people that we place our trust in. We find it hard to trust so often because we've been let down so many times. It's hard to trust when you've been let down. We elect people into political offices to represent us, right? And they say everything we want to hear while they're running for office. And as soon as they get into office, they forget all the promises they made. We like to trust that they're telling us the truth. But they're not. Then I came across some statistics. I think you'll get a kick out of these. Imagine working for a company that has little more than 500 employees and has the following statistics. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are currently defendants in lawsuits. 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. Can you imagine what organization this is? Some of us are going, yeah, we know exactly who it is, right? This is our 535 members of the United States Congress. Is that not sad? And we trust that these guys are going to do what's right. Well, some of us don't trust because we know better. But many people out there are trusting that these people with this background are going to do what's best for us. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Let me just say, man will let you down over and over and over and over and over again. Yet God has taken care of us over and over and over and over and over again. We don't need to be so eager to trust man. What we need to do is find that it's essential in our lives that we trust God. It's essential that we trust God. I like the fact in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't it nice that we can cast all our burdens on the Lord? Our problem is we get used to casting our burdens and taking them back. We just need to cast them on the Lord and leave them there. He says, just give them to him and let him take care of it. Look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm sure you'll know where I'm headed with this. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 28. Matthew 6:28 says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what is the Lord saying here? We need to live our Christian life trusting him, and he will take care of us. It's hard for us to do that, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've been kind of a control freak. I know that's hard to believe, right? Control freak. I like to have control because then I know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it, and why I'm doing it. I like control. It was really hard when I was in the corporate world and I had people working under me because I would dictate what I wanted done. And when it didn't get done in the time frame I laid out, I was not a happy person. And they say, well, you just expect too much. No, I don't expect anything more from you guys than what I myself can do. I would work alongside them. I didn't just send them out to do it. I would work alongside them And I'd say, you guys are slower than molasses. You need to pick up the pace. You can work faster. You just choose not to. And it just would grate on my every nerve. I am a control freak. I want it done when I want it done, how I want it done, why I want it done, and all that good stuff, right? It's hard to delegate and let go. I'm getting better at it. I'm just not perfect yet. I'm getting better. You just delegate and let it go. And I've had to learn that not everybody has the same passion towards things that I do. So it may get done, it just won't get done in my time. It'll get done, but it might not be done the way I wanted it done, right? But it's still done. And we have to learn to let go of some of that stuff sometimes. We need to just trust that God will take care of us. If something concerns us, God wants us to know that it also concerns Him. And let's just say, as I mentioned earlier, we all think that our everyday huge problems, right, God can't take care of, but it doesn't matter if it's big or small. God doesn't care. He wants us to trust Him with them. It can be minuscule stuff. I tell people, don't make any decisions without consulting God first. Was that major decisions? Did I say don't make any? I didn't say if they're big or small. Don't make any decisions without consulting God first. He's not going to steer us wrong. We can trust Him. He will always have our best interest at heart. Our text shows where some people, during the days of the psalmist, put their trust. He said some put their trust in chariots, some in their horses. But I like the fact that some put their trust in the Lord. It's where our trust should be, in the Lord. Everybody is going to put their trust somewhere. We need to make sure we put it in the right place, and that's with the Lord. As a nation, it's obvious that we are putting our trust in technology and powerful weapons. The wrong thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I think we need a strong military, and I think we need, you know, our weapons at our disposal. I think we need that stuff. But I don't think we should be trusting in those things. We need to trust in Almighty God. And until we get back to that, we're going to have a problem. We hear politicians stand before the American people and declare that we are the only superpower on the face of the earth. We are it, right? Look at how great we are. Look at how powerful we are. I look at what I see and I think, what are we trusting in? We can't trust in these things. We can't trust in our powerful weapons. We can't trust in our elected officials. But we can trust in God. These men and women are failing to realize that America has become great not because of our weapons, not because of what we have done, but because our forefathers put their faith and trust in Almighty God. I still like the fact as they continue to say, we are not a Christian nation and you can't bring religion into the state, right? And all that garbage that they have no idea what they're talking about. I still like to go back when I study history that 11 of the 13 colonies, you had to be a born-again believer to hold office. I think we need to go back to that, only make it 100%. If you're not a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't hold office. Let's just say that wouldn't go over very big, would it? We'd probably have to clean house. We'd have a lot of vacancies. Right now we have a bunch coming up, right? There's a bunch of them that have said, we're not running again, we're not running again, we're not running again, over and over and over. They're not running, they're bailing. Why are they bailing? Because they're tired of fighting an uphill battle. Because they're not trusting in God. Sounds pretty simple to me. Just trust God. Our nation is no longer on a trend of being a nation that follows the Lord. We as a nation are like Samson in that he killed the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, and then afterwards he threw it away, the very thing that gave him the victory. We've thrown away the very thing that's given us the victory. We've thrown God out. We've said, well, we got the victory, but we no longer need him. We live in a nation where we put our faith and trust in people and things. When our forefathers put their faith and trust in Almighty God, they've taken the faith that made this nation what it is, what it was, I should say, and thrown it away. Very obvious. Our faith and trust is in people and things. People and things. You know, I like listening to some of the old messages that I heard years ago, and I've been doing that recently, going through some pretty old ones. And I like the fact that the preacher, he said, do you realize that God is not on his throne, biting his fingernails to the quick, wondering what he's going to do if Barack Obama is voted in as president? Do you know I can say today he's not up there concerned about what we're going to do if Biden's elected again? He's not concerned. But let me say this. We will get in the White House the one that God puts there. Because the Bible is very clear. Very clear. That God's the one that puts them there. The powers that be are ordained of God. We need to pray. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. For our nation. For people. We need to be praying. Some people go to a doctor they've never seen before in their entire life. They don't know anything about the schooling they've had. I have one guy I know, first thing he does when he meets a new doctor, this is the first question he asks. Where did you graduate in your class? He says it throws him off every time. He says, I don't want somebody who graduated at the bottom of their class. He says, I want somebody who has the knowledge to deal with what I'm dealing with. So he wants to know. And you know, they don't put that on the wall in the exam room, right? I graduated at the bottom of my class. They don't put that in there. But they don't have any idea anything about them, what their schooling was. They may not even see a degree on the wall, and yet they put all their faith and trust in whatever they say. The doctor will say, I scheduled you for surgery. Okay, whatever you think is best. is usually the answer, right? And I'm not picking on doctors. What I'm picking on is we put our faith and trust in people we've never, ever met, and yet we will not put faith and trust in Almighty God, who as a child of God, we should have an intimate relationship with. You see where I'm going with this? It doesn't make any sense. Can you imagine a doctor saying, I'm going to open you up from your chin to your stomach. I'm going to pull your heart out. I'm going to work on it, and then I'm going to put it all back together. And you go, okay, whatever you think. And you never met them before in your life. You don't know anything about them. Without hesitation, people will jump in their car and drive across long bridges suspended in the air. My wife hates long bridges with a passion. Every time we've traveled and we have to go across one, I have to drive. She likes to drive long distances until it comes to a long bridge over water. Then I have to drive. So we have to pull over, change seats, and I drive. We get past the bridge, and I pull over again, switch drivers again. She does not like them. In fact, when I'm driving over them, she's got her eyes closed. Which is why I drive, because I don't want her in the driver's seat with her eyes closed. But she doesn't want anything to do with them. But we drive over them, and we don't even think twice about it. We step into elevators that are suspended by just a few cables. Yeah. Hundreds of feet in the air. We don't think twice about it, do we? Till the thing starts jerking, and then all of a sudden we're a little concerned. We trust in airplanes that men have made with their own hands. And they go into the sky and fly at record speeds. And we don't think twice about it, right? We tend to be trusting. But where we find people have a hard time trusting is when it comes to Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of all things. Makes no sense. As the psalmist said, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So how are we to trust the Lord? I want to share a few things this morning. But the Bible says that we are to trust the Lord. We'll continue that next week as we look at some next week, but this week I want to look at number one, we are to trust the Lord with our tithes. We are to trust the Lord, but a better question is, can the Lord trust us? I heard in the same message I was listening to, the preacher said a friend of his got in front of the church one day that he was pastoring, and he said, I got bad news. Somebody broke into the office and stole the tithes. Everybody was aghast, right? Oh my goodness, what are we going to do, right? He said, I got worse news. It never made it to the offering plate. Will man rob God? The answer is yes, in tithes and offerings. God says over in Malachi that we're supposed to bring our tithes into the storehouse, God's house, on the first day of the week. Yeah. And he says, prove me, right? This is one of the areas of Scripture where God says, prove me. And we say, Don't want to risk that, right? Don't want to risk proving God, right? Yeah. People who have a hard time with the tithe thing do not trust God. It's that simple. They just don't trust Him. Because God says He will take care of your needs. And I can't tell you how many times I've been told, you know, I pay all the bills, we do all of our recreation, we do all of our vacations, we do everything we want to do, and after everything's paid for, there's no money left for the tithe. I said, well, that's because you've got it all backwards. The tithe comes first. And then you trust that God will make the rest cover everything else. And by the way, let me just say, if you can't take, you know, that $50,000 world cruise or whatever, you can't take that $100,000, you know, dream vacation or whatever, it's probably because you're not supposed to. God will take care of our needs. People who do not tithe believe they can take care of themselves better than God can. Our giving reflects our love for the Lord. Do we love Him? Where we placed our faith? If we placed it in the Lord, then we're going to be obedient. If we placed it in self, or someone else, or something else, we're going to have a problem. God has promised that He will take care of those who tithe. But some just don't believe that God can be trusted. Can you believe that? But, like I said already this morning, we trust Him with salvation. We trust Him with our eternal security. But we don't trust Him when it comes to taking care of us if we give Him what is already His. Let me just say, these people are ignorant when it comes to the things that the Bible teaches. And ignorant means unlearned. They just don't get it. We live in a world that's filled with ignorance. One of the most ignorant things a person can do is to put their trust in people and things and feel that they cannot trust the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've learned over the years that man has let me down over and over and over. But I've learned through the years that God has never let me down. Not once. I like this story of a pastor who was talking to a new convert about tithing. The convert said, "Pastor, I really do not have the money to tithe. It takes all that I make to pay my bills." Let me just stop there a minute. Who got him into that situation? If you're spending more than you make, it's not because God put you there. He warns against that. All right. The pastor told him that God has promised to take care of him if he would spend his money wisely, trust God, and tithe. The man said, "Pastor, you do not understand. I cannot tithe. I do not have the money." The pastor said, "Sorry, but you do not understand. Let me ask you something. Would you be willing to tithe each Sunday if I personally would make up the difference at the end of the month to pay your bills?" The man said, "Pastor, if you promised to do that, I certainly would tithe every Sunday." I like this. The pastor said, "That is amazing. You trust me to supply your needs, but you're not willing to trust God." Interesting, huh? I did have a pastor who told one time, said, "You tithe, and at the end of the year, if God has not supplied your needs. I will write you a check personally from my own personal account for the entire amount of all the tithes you gave for the entire year. At the end of the year, the guy came and said, God's taken care of everything. Because he does. Can you imagine? I'm not making that same request. See, I trust God, but I don't trust that you'd come and tell me that everything was okay. You just come and tell me, this is what I gave in tithes, and this is what you need to write my check for. My faith and trust is going to stay in God. The man got the message and started tithing, and every month trusted God to supply his needs. When we fail to tithe, we are saying that we cannot trust in the promises of God. We cannot trust God's word. We must take matters into our own hands. And then two, we are to trust the Lord with our talents. Our talents. America is fascinated with talented people. It's amazing. Do you know that millions and millions of people watch the Grammys every year? I'm not one of them. Just thought I'd mention that. Millions of people watch the Oscars. Again, I'm not one of them. If you do, that's up to you. I just don't. Millions of people watch American Idol. Again, I'm not one of them. Millions of people watch America's Got Talent week after week after week. And again, I'm not one of them. They do this. And many people think that this concept is brand new. But if you go all the way back to the 80s, you'll realize Ed McMahon hosted Star Search before all these other ones came out. And people flock to this stuff. Why? Because they want to see people's talents. They're mesmerized by people with talent. And where does all this talent come from? God himself. If you have talent, it's because God gave it to you. Yeah. Got a couple preachers that I know, very talented. They can play different instruments. They've got great singing voices and all. And I said, well, God gave my talents to you. I don't have those. And that's okay. We're not all supposed to have those talents. Apparently, right? I would love to play the piano. I love piano music. I could listen to it hours and hours and hours on end. I love it. The hymns. I love hearing the hymns played. I can peck out a few hymns, you can make out what they are, but I can't, what we would call, play the piano. I'm not good at it. I tried. I'm not good at it. I'm not supposed to be. But God gave them the talent. It comes from God. I remember when Rush Limbaugh burst on the scene. Had a 3-hour radio show. And one of the trademark lines that he used was, talent on loan from God. Talent on loan from God. See, Rush knew where his talent came from. Came from God. And it's amazing because most people, they become famous, right? And it's all about them. But Rush understood that his talent, the talent that God gave him, was on loan from God. It was not his. A talent might be a certain gift, but it can also be, according to scriptures, could be money. God has given to everyone certain talents. Some people are taking those talents and literally wasting them. Wasting them. Matthew chapter 25 gives us a parable. One received one talent, one received two talents, and one received five talents. But this parable also tells that once the talents were given, they were to use them, not waste them. A talent was actually a measurement of weight. And they would vary greatly depending upon just what was being weighed out. Gold, silver, copper, those kind of things. A single talent of gold, silver, or copper would have been a significant sum of money. For instance, a talent of silver was worth 6,000 denarii. A denarii was the amount of money that a laborer would earn in a single day. So one talent of silver would be equal to 16 years of salary. Quite a bit. Quite a bit. Five talents would be enough money to live a long and prosperous life. If you were to translate that into modern terminology, using the figure that a good laborer today makes between $70 and $100 a day, yeah, it's amazing. A talent would be worth over $400,000. Only a foolish man would take the talents God has given him and literally waste them. Literally waste them. Parable teaches us some things. So many of us think that if we own a large portfolio consisting of land, houses, stocks, and bonds, but in reality, we're only managers. We just manage it. Do you know 100 years from now, it's not going to matter what car you drove, what house you lived in, what clothes you wore? 100 years from now, it won't matter. It won't matter how much is in your bank account 100 years from now. Do you know, all of our stuff will be in someone else's hands or a landfill. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Just 100 years from now. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:15. Ecclesiastes 5:15. It says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. We're not taking anything with us. Interesting, isn't it? Nothing. We're just stewards. We're just managing resources that God has given us. That's all we're doing. We're given what we can handle. In today's parable, each man was given what he could handle. The Bible clearly tells us that God will not put on us more than we can handle. There's a danger of accumulating possessions. If we are not careful, our possessions will eventually possess us. And again, reminds me of Brother Anchor when he used to say, possess your possessions. It's amazing. If we don't, our possessions will eventually possess us. And it's amazing how many people spend tens of thousands of dollars a year storing stuff that they'll never see again. It's amazing. Share this. My father-in-law had an opportunity a long time ago to buy some land. And he and his friend were talking about doing this. They decided, no, it's crazy. Who would ever buy into it? But they were going to buy some land and put up storage units. Now, we're talking way back. in the early 80s. Put up some storage units and rent them out. He said, nah, it'll never take off. How many storage units are out there today? How much does it cost to rent a storage unit today? I saw a 10 by 20 advertised the other day for $140 a month. How many years do you have to rent that before you could afford to put a 10 by 20 up and pay cash for it? I'm just saying. Because we're so concerned about keeping all our possessions safe that we'll never see again. 3, we must invest what we have been given. We can't bury our resources in the ground and expect God's blessing. We must use what we have for good. For good. God wants us to use what He's given us for good. That's why I like, it's a good segue right into Faith Promise, right? I like Faith Promise because God just uses us as a conduit. He gives us the resources that we can give, that we can send others all over the world to get the gospel out. Because we're supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. I've already said, everything that we have 100 years from now is going to be gone. Somebody else is going to have it, or it's going to be in a landfill somewhere. It's going to be gone. So what good is it? So the question we need to ask ourselves today is, how are we using our talents? How are we using our talents? Some, we were talking yesterday at breakfast, some God's given amazing talents to be able to sing. And they had a great testimony for the Lord. And they grew up in church, and they sang in the choir, and they sang specials in the church. And then they were discovered, right? And they left that all behind to follow after all the attention on them and use that talent not to glorify God, but to enrich their bank account and destroyed their lives. Now, not everybody's done that. Some of them have been given great opportunities to make lots of money with the voice God gave them, with the talent to play instruments that God has given them, and they've chosen to glorify God rather than chase after the almighty buck. What are we going to use our talents for? Look this morning at our tithes and our talents. Stay tuned next week as we continue on. Let's pray.